Talk Radio.
Bible says in Psalm 27 and 13, David said, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And what we come to understand and know that even when it doesn't look good, it works for the good. To all those that are called according to his purpose, help me say,
it's all good.
It's all God.
Everything going on in my life.
All good.
And it's all God.
All God.
Had a few hills to climb.
All good.
Whoa.
Good evening. It is Friday. Welcome to another Bible study with Waters of Everlasting Life. Thank you all for joining us, text messages, emails, however way you communicate with us that you're here tonight, laptops, iPads, on your phone, and online personally with us tonight. Thank you all for joining us. Tonight's message is Hungry and Thirsty for the Lord. That is our Bible study, because right now we all need to be incessantly seeking God's face. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. He tells Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So these are the days that we are seeking the Lord with all our heart, and we are hungry. And Lord, we're asking you, Jesus, to be present tonight, because we are hungry, Lord, and we are thirsty, and we are seeking you. I do want to say hello quite briefly before we have our opening prayer to lead us into the Bible study. Pastor, how are you?
I am doing very well, Apostle, and I'm glad to be here for another Friday night Bible study tonight.
Good, good, good. I know you've got the feast brewing on the pot, so we're going to say hello just to a few others, and we're going to go ahead. To my family, my ministry partners, Harris, how are y'all doing? Y'all doing okay?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We're doing great.
We're doing great.
Okay. Y'all hungry?
We ready.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Pastor said he had the table prepared for us. We waiting.
Okay. I know we got quite a few others on. I definitely want to say hello to Mother Collins, my ministry mother. Hello, Mother.
Hello.
How are you today? Hey, Pike, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we laying the plate in front of you. Now get your fork and spoon now.
I am ready.
All right, we are ready for the Bible study. And Lord, we just want to come to you, and Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence always, God. And for those that are being obedient to your word in the kingdom, Jesus, and that are coming to you tonight to partake of the feast that will be put on the table this evening, Lord. Lord, will you speak tonight? Lord, will you soften hearts tonight? Lord, will you clear minds of any burdens, stresses, ailing feelings in the body, pressing issues in households? Lord, we ask that your standard be lifted right now in the name of Jesus, and that that standard, Lord, goes out so far that whatever pressing issues are on the minds of the saints tonight, that they will put that on the back burner and give it to you, Lord. Host, Lord, we're going to put it back, Lord. But, Lord, we're going to ask the angels why it's back there to gather it, to gather all problems, all issues. Gather that as we release it to you tonight, because we're hungry, God, and we're thirsty for the word. And we need that so that we can battle, so that we can pray, so that we can be girded and emboldened with courage tonight, God, to stand on the word, which is the foundation of existence for the saints, if you will. Lord, we are hungry. And Lord, you will fill us, I know, Lord Jesus. So speak through the man of our God, to his heart, speak to his mind, speak to his soul, speak to his spirit. Let that ebb out into us tonight, Lord, as our cups are ready to receive, and let it run completely, unabashedly, and unapologetically over. And we thank you, and we love you, Father. Amen and amen. Pastor, it is yours.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for coming again to another Bible study on this beautiful Friday evening that the Lord has blessed us with. And I thank Apostle for that powerful, wonderful prayer that she has just rendered to us. And we do thank God for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he is going to do. There's an old song. I love to go to the old song that says, "Fill my cup, Lord, and let it overflow. Let it overflow." Thank God tonight. We thank God for the subject that he has blessed us with tonight concerning being hungry and thirsty for the Lord. And we're going to get into the Bible study tonight, and I hope that we can say something to advance your understanding and advance your thrill, your joy, and put back the joy of our salvation that keeps us running and searching after the heart and after the face of God. This is what it's all about in these last days. Everybody is going and pulling in their own directions a lot of times, but a lot of people have lost their way. We want you to find your way back to the Lord.
Yes.
And find your way to praying grounds. Find your way back to giving God praise, honor, thanksgiving, joy, and just let it flood our souls, because this is what is most needed now, is the flooding of our souls with the joy and the peace of the Lord more than anything else, is to be in that tranquil place with God so we know that we have a place of refuge, we have a place of rest, we have a place of joy and comfort when we are in the name, going into the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. Excuse me.
Yes.
So we thank God for his word tonight, and we're going to go into the book of Matthew, first of all. But before we go there, I just want to give God praise. I want to give him thanks. I want to give him honor and glory for all that he has done for me. I'll tell you the numbers that I have this week after going to the doctor and getting my lab reports back, you know, and all of that, is something to praise God about. I haven't had numbers like this, and I don't mind giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory for it, and that is what I'm about to do tonight, right now, because God is such a good God.
Yeah.
Numbers that fits the physical physique of a teenage man is what the Lord blessed me with on this week, you know. And I tell you, I have been through a lot of things in life, you know, having diabetes at one time. And I say at one time because I was insulin dependent at one time. For several years was insulin dependent, but I thank God. And I'm going to throw some numbers out there and let you all hear it for yourself. This is not from my meters. This is from the ones that are calibrated by the health industry itself. You know, blood pressure, 119 over 70. I praise God for that. Also, heart rate, 80. I praise God for that. Blood sugar that day, 120. That's in the afternoon after a meal. After eating, 120. I thank God for that. And then when I got my A1C level report back from the lab itself, it was 6.2. Those are numbers that I can live with. Thank God for that, because a few years ago, the same people was telling me, you don't need to make another appointment. Do you want us to send to get palliative care to come out to your house and tell you what you need to do, and tried to get me, and I said, now, no. I said, well, just tell me how much time do I have left? They told me at that point, you have 6 months, Mr. Marchbank, you got 6 months. And I said, well, if I only have 6 months, then I'm going to go out on my own terms. You know, and I thank God, because now when I walk in there, 4 years later, when I walk in there, they're dumbfounded, as though they have not seen one ghost, but 10 ghosts at one time. They do not know or understand what God have done for me. I tell you what, and if that is not a testimony, The Bible lets us know that it overcame him by the words that testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. How did you do it, Mr. Marchbank? What are you doing different? I told him I fast twice a week. Thank God for Jesus. I fast twice a week. Well, what is your reason for fasting? I said, I do it for my religious purposes. I do it because I want to get close to God. I don't mind letting people know who I am or who I serve because I know what the Lord have did for me. Who have ever heard being a diabetic for almost 30 years coming off insulin and now have not taken insulin now in almost 4 years. October will be 4 years. Tell me God is not a good God. So you got to get pumped up. What he turning around? I'm telling you, if you be willing and obedient, the Bible tells me that you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword because the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. So what is the sword?
Yes.
The sword is the word of God. So if you don't believe what the Lord can do, honey, it's not coming your way. But I want you to listen to me good. I want you to know that God is able to do these things. I'm talking about at one time blood pressure through the roof. Couldn't do things good because of blood pressure. Having to take all kinds of blood pressure medicine. Couldn't do things good because of diabetes, having to take insulin. And at one time, we're taking insulin and pill. Tell me God is not a good God. I beg to differ with you, sweetheart, but you got to get hungry after the Lord. I don't mind telling what God have did for me because I know what he can do. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe that testimony will help somebody out, and maybe they can get away from things that they need to get away from and break free. And I'm not telling anybody to go cold turkey. I'm not telling anybody to do things on their own. Like I said, these numbers came from their calibration, from their medical equipment itself. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what they told me. Bless the name of God. So I love those kind of reports from the Lord. Tell me what God can do. And the Bible teaches us again, whose report are you going to believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. So we're going to go to the passage of Scripture now in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. And I'm going to ask the apostle to do some reading for me tonight. She's been so great in reading for me and keeping up with me because sometimes I get all across the highway with this thing because it's so much be flooding me at one time that I'll be trying to get everything in and don't have enough time to do it. But she's been so good in keeping up with me, and I thank God for that. And also I thank God for her giving such wonderful prayers in the opening sessions of the Bible studies and rendering such good music. I love that song, Praise God. It's not all good. It's all God. So I tell you tonight, it's all God. Praise God. And give all the glory to God. Hallelujah. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse number 6, Apostle, if you will, go there for me and read that passage for us tonight.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Okay. Okay. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if you look at this passage of Scripture, it don't say that you be hungry and thirst after what you want. You know, it says hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, a lot of people's lives are unfulfilled because they're hungering and they're thirsting after everything else. But when we do hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will fill that void. If we have a void in our lives, honey, it's not for materialistic things. You got to look a little bit further. Look a little deeper. Dig a little bit deeper because somewhere down the line, if we get filled with the righteousness of God, everything else takes a back seat. In other words, it does not really matter. You know, when you're filled with the righteousness of God, you know that he is there. He's guiding you. He's protecting you. There's no worry. There's no good thing that he will withhold from you when you are filled with his righteousness. This is where we want to go tonight, because when we have a righteous fulfillment in our lives, everything else, like I said, takes the back seat. Nothing really matters. You know, you say it matters. Yeah, it might matter, but it don't really matter. I put it that way. It doesn't really matter, because when we fulfill the laws of God, we fulfill the desires of the Lord, the mind of God. This is what we want to look for also, is let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So we want to look into thirsting and hungering after righteousness, because we shall be filled. And I fill my cup, Lord. Let it overflow. Let it overflow with you. I mean, every side. And I thank God for that. We're going to go to another passage of scripture, and we're going to look in the book of Psalms 42, number 42, and verse number 1. And we're going to get a little bit more insight here as to how we are supposed to be panting for the Lord. Apostle, if you will, go there for me.
Okay, give me 1 second. Psalm 42.
While she's getting Psalm 42, I like to say this. You know, while she's going to Psalm 42, verse number 1, everything that we seek from the Lord, if it be in his will, I must put that in there, if it be in his will, he will withhold no good thing from us. You know, so this is another thing in getting into the right alignment with the will of God. And that's when we can truly seek him out with our thirst and our hunger for him. To be hungry for the Lord and be thirsty for the Lord is more than just a mediocre type craving for something to be fulfilled just for the moment. No, when you're hungry and thirsty for the Lord, this runs very deep. This runs down into the core of the inner man, to where he's not satisfied unless he know he have gotten in contact with God on a different level. And you can tell it. When you get into the Lord on a different level, sweetheart, you can tell that, because your whole demeanor changes. I remember a young man at work, and he had got a book. He was reading a book that really touched his spirit. And before then, you couldn't really notice any difference about him. He was kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. Nothing wrong with that, you know. But when he read this book called I forget what the name of it is at the moment, but it touched him so deep, everybody around him could see the change that came over him. He then began to seek the depth and the depth purpose for his life, the in-depth purpose, I should say, for his life, and how to go forward and seeking the Lord. That was a beautiful sight to see, because it gives you a change of attitude. It gives you a new focus in life. Once you get into that zone where nothing really temper tantrum you like it used to, you get into that zone where everything is going to be okay. You know, everything is going to be good. Everything is nice. You know, everything takes a different you have to take a different approach to everything, and everything looks different to you. Okay, going to Psalm 42 and 1, and Apostle, if you will, read that one for me.
Okay, to the chief musician, my shield, for the sons of Korah. And when you look at some of these psalms, they'll say things like to the chief musician, and they'll name different people. And my shield is the type of term noted in music, because these are songs that are actually being sung to the Lord in prayer style, but they're songs. But my shield denotes an expert type of wisdom and didactic, an instrument while they're doing this praying and singing. And Psalm 42 says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Yes. Praise God. Thank God. And you know, one of the best ways to visualize the history that what she just gave you is to see someone that really plays well on the harp, you know, because their fingers are doing such things on that musical instrument until, you know, you say, oh, my goodness, is that for real? You know, and they just flow with the music until those chords become a part of them and they become a part of that musical instrument itself. David even said that you teach my hand to war, you know. So David was a master musician on the harp, and he was playing this out. You teach my hands to war and hitting those strings. Can you imagine that? Praise God. But as the heart panteth for the water brook, my soul panteth for thee, O. So now the heart itself is something we would call a deer, you know, out in the wild. You know, and they get very thirsty because they do a lot of moving around. They do all kinds of climbing and running and getting away from different predatory animals and stuff like that. But they are thirsty all the time. You know, they'll find a water brook. I mean, they will travel for miles and miles. They can smell fresh water, especially when it's running water. They can smell the water. And so they pant for it. They're running for it. And this is the way we're supposed to be searching for the Lord in our spiritual walk with him, is to pant for the water brook, you know, to pant for the Lord as the heart panted for the water brook. And we're not satisfied until we get our fill. Praise God. And God is willing to fill everyone that thirsts. There's a passage of scripture also in the book of Isaiah 55. Hold everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, buy without money and without price. Only God can do that, sweetheart. So we want to pant for the Lord as the heart panted for the water brook, and let the Lord fill our cup and let it overflow. Praise God. We're going to Psalms again, talking about the thirst, you know. And we're going to talk about the thirst here in Psalm 63 and verses number 1 through 8, and see what the Lord has for us here. Remember, this is a passage of scripture that I learned as a child, was very young when I started reading this one. And I love this passage of scripture because it really spoke to my heart then, and it still speaks to my heart now. And every now and again, I love to go back to this passage of scripture and just read it because it brings back good memories from the days gone by. And that's another thing that we need to do ourselves too, is search. It's like the Bible told us back in Jeremiah 6:16, search, seek, and act for the old path. When you find it, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. So a lot of time we have to encourage ourselves by looking into the archives of our minds and knowing what the Lord have already did for us, what he have already brought us through, how he've already sheltered us and protected us, how he have already put his hedge around us and kept us from dangers, seen and unseen, and got us out of harm's way when we couldn't get harm's way out of our. So we want to thank God for that as well. But and to pant after the Lord, this is done on a daily basis. This is not just done when you think it's a time to do it, you know, because you have fallen onto a hard time. That's the wrong time. You know, we want to do it before things get bad. We want to do it before yeah. things get out of hand. We want to do it before the rubber really meets the road, to where you're feeling the hurt from it. You're feeling the pain from it. You know, you can't battle good when you are under such distress and your mind is stretched and torn in several different directions. So this is the reason why we want to pant after the Lord while we are yet in a peaceful stage. You know, so when everything going good, I don't have to really search for him like I used to. Sweetheart, don't fool yourself. This is the time to really seek the Lord. It's when things are going well. Because when yeah. a man thinks that everything is sure, let him take heed, lest he fall. You know, because there's always traps and stuff being laid every day by the enemy to try to take you out. I mean, if it's not coming through your job, it's coming through your children, not coming through your children, your cars or your appliances are breaking down, trying to get you out of your comfort zone. Everything is happening. But let us take comfort and seek the Lord so we can take things in life with a grain of salt, if you'd allow that terminology. Take things with a grain of salt and move forward because the Lord got us on every side. He's got you back, sweetheart. Okay, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, Apostle, if you will, please go there for me, and we will see what the scripture has laid down for us right here.
Okay. This psalm is actually from David. It's not a musician's note, and it's not to the sons of Korah. And it's during David's plight as he's running from Saul and basically just trying to be king. And so that's why when you look at some of these psalms, all of them are not David. There are several authors to psalm. Isn't it about 40, Pastor?
Yes, yes.
About 40 authors.
Many of
them.
Okay. Many of them.
Okay. So this is a Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirst flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That's a whole lot in that passage there in the book of Psalms 63, verses 1 through 8. That's a lot in there. The one that really caught my attention in my early years of life, like I said, was because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That is the one that I chose out of that passage there at an early age. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, and my heart followed hard after thee. You know, so when you follow hard after the Lord and know that the whole end game is, you know, you're going to find him, you know, but because he will not hide himself forever. I praise God for that. But he will show up. And when the Lord shows up, he will bring his reward with him. So when we seek the Lord, and this is part of being hungry for him, this is the greater part of being hungry for the Lord, is knowing how to seek the Lord. You've got to do it diligently. Seeking the Lord and getting hunger for him is done through diligence. And when you search him, search for him diligently, we will find him. And that was a passage also in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, that says that we should seek the Lord diligently. And
yes,
all the things, good things will come to us if we listen to his counsel and seek him diligently. We will find him, and not only find him, but he will bring rewards with him. You know, so we thank God for that. In the book of Psalm 63, do me a favor. Read that for yourselves and see what the Lord give you. I'm sure that when you read that, you will find that the Lord have a blessing for you, even in those 8 verses that she just read to us about seeking the Lord. And because this is a thing that we need to do on a daily basis. And also,
yeah,
Psalms 119 is very much loaded. I didn't put that with
yeah
a UQ, sweetheart. But Psalms 119 is loaded. You're talking about getting into some counsel of God, the precepts of God, the knowledge of God, the light of God, the word of God.
Yes.
If you really want to follow hard after the Lord, I'm giving you a passage of scripture now that you can go and just soak yourself into it and just let it talk to you. I mean, because Psalms 119, I didn't give it to you because it's so many verses in there, and I didn't want to go out and pick out and choose for you. I want you to go to the Psalms 119 for yourself, you know, because there's 176 verses in this passage alone. So you can stay locked up in this one all day long if you like, and it will bless your heart. But this is what we do when we start getting hungry for God, start getting thirsty for God. You don't want the dance to end because the Lord is giving you such joy, such pleasure, such an anointing in his word until you don't want it to end. You want more and more and more, and he is willing to give you more and more and more. Praise God. I remember buying a book some years ago for my birthday, and the first time I had bought a book of this caliber before, and it was called The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And oh, what a treasure. When I found myself in the book of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, I did
yes.
not know just how thirsty I was until I opened up the book and started reading in that concordance of the Bible, and it was carrying me from one passage to the other. And all of it was connected like a beautiful symphony coming together. And that night, I spent 7 hours in that one book. Praise God. And a lot of people spend that kind of time in a deep novel or something that catch your attention, but my attention was not on a novel. My attention was in the Word of God. And this is what started a lot of searching and researching into the Word of God. And this is where my joy comes from, searching into the Word of God and having knowledge of the Word of God, seeing what God has revealed. And because you cannot open the scriptures up and go through it at any length of time and the Lord not reveal something to you. It happens every single time. Start searching into the Word of God. It's going to talk to your spirit. Don't fool yourself. He's going to fill you up to the point. And what I want you to do is get filled to the point to where a little bit is the Brill Cream commercial years ago. You say a little dab, but do you? I don't want that. I want, no, the little dab won't do me. It's not like the Lay's potato chip. You know,
yes.
You can't, can anybody eat just one? You know, praise God. You can't eat just one. You have to find more and more in the treasures of God, because these treasures, we have it in earthen vessels, and it's a reason for that. I want to slow it down to tell you, it's a reason for that, because God wants us to be searching for him. This is why he reveals some things to us more powerful in some settings than he does in other settings, because he wants us to stay interested in what he has to offer us. And believe me, the spirit man is hungry always to be in contact with our creator, God.
Yes.
He wants to be there. So how do we give him the connection that he's looking for, that he's thirsty for, that he's hungry for? We find it in the Word of God. You cannot get it anywhere else. You know, I don't care how many novels you read, it's not there. They may have some things in there that is beneficial to you, but it's still not the Word of God, you know. So everything else is subject to scrutiny, but the Word of God is infallible itself. Okay, so we want to go to another passage of scripture. I'm not sure if I gave this one to you, sweetheart, but in the book of Job, chapter number 23, verses 8 through 10, is a familiar passage of scripture. I love to refer to this one all the time, you know, because this one is a company keeper, as I like to say. Job 23, verses 8 through 10. And we want to look into this one because Job had found himself also in dire straits, trying to find God. He was searching for God. He was thirsty to hear from God. He was wanting to know Are you, Lord? Searching for God. You know, and we got to get hungry like this as well, because things don't happen just because we put it in our spirit or in our mind for it to happen and just think about it. No, we have a work to do. You see, because salvation itself is free. You know, it's on our belief, salvation is free. But now, to get into a good relationship with the Lord, that calls for work. You know, that calls for putting your plate aside sometimes. That calls for digging into your scriptures. That calls
yes,
for calling your brothers and sisters that is more knowledgeable than we are and asking them for some kind of spiritual help, spiritual guidance. It calls for work to maintain a good relationship with the Lord, because if you don't maintain it, then what you would do was start fleeing into other areas, trying to fulfill a void that is not going to ever be fulfilled. I don't care what kind of gifting somebody else has. It's not your gifting. You know, I don't care what kind of word they have from the Lord. That is not the word, your word. You know, you want this relationship for yourself, and you can't get it unless you get into that relationship with the Lord for yourself. We can't run behind this one and run behind that one and think we're getting a relationship with God because we're trying to involve ourselves in everything. No, it doesn't come that way, sweetheart. Been there, and I've done that. It doesn't come that way. When you get some quiet time with the Lord for yourself and get into that tranquil place, notice all of the apostles. Notice all of the psalmists. Notice all of the prophets. And even the leaders of the days of old, Moses, Joshua, even the prophet Elijah, all of them had a one-on-one relationship with God, and it was worth writing about. It was so powerful. Even the things that we read now, it came from their relationship with God. Notice now, you don't have a big crowd in this kind of relationship. Why? Because God is dealing with these individuals one-on-one. Paul, Peter, James, all of these, he was dealing with them one-on-one. Have you ever read a book in the Bible where it says, this is the epistle of James, Paul, John, and Susan? And all? No, it is the epistle of Peter. It is the epistle of James. It is the epistle of John. What I'm trying to tell you is this. This is a personal relationship that you're trying to fortify, trying to get to its full fruition, and it don't come with the crowd. Thank you very much. It doesn't come with the crowd. This is a one-on-one situation, and until you develop that one-on-one relationship, then you have nothing to bring to the crowd. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Unless you develop it in the trenches yourself, you don't have anything to bring to the crowd. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. So, Apostle, would you read that for me, please? Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. And I'm going to soon give it up. Okay.
I just wanted to edify your last comment about you can't give in the crowd to those that are listening, because as we walk with God on a more intimate level, there are things that the Lord shows you, and some of it people will say is supernatural. And that's because you have taken the time to be in isolation. You have taken the time to be in consecration, and you're not trying to follow after the world. You can really care less what people that have both feet planted on this earth plane have to say, because they can't spiritually discern what God is showing you and telling you. And as you walk this walk, it's not easy, but boy, is it worth it, because you can do so much in this walk that people that have 2 feet in the world chasing every dime and nickel and building big homes and yachts and all this, they cannot ever step into spiritually discerning the word of God on the level you will be able to, because you've sat in the counsel of God. You've sat there, and he said he'll show you things that you know not of. And so we must remember when we get to that point, we become separate. We don't chase the crowd. We don't care about trying to patronize somebody because they have a title. Those things do not bother us. We can stand on the word of God with fierce tigers standing in the realm, ha, like Daniel with the lion's den. We can stand on the word of God fiercely because we know that he has our back. Chapter 23 of Job tells us in verse 8, which is one of your favorite verses, as you stated. I love it. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, then I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yes.
Oh. Oh, bless his holy name. Praise God. Now, while you were reading that, Apostle, I could visualize this as someone doing this on a theatrical setting, you know, as doing this in a play or in a drama class or something like that. And listen to what Job was saying. I go backwards. I go forward. I go to the right. I go to the left. You know, you're looking, but well, you look at this, and if you visualize it the way that I was visualizing that, I mean, you said this man is drunk. I mean, he is lit because of the simple fact he's searching everywhere for the Lord, and the Lord is not showing himself. Oh, my God. He's not showing himself. Job's stumbling backwards. He's stumbling forward. He's stumbling to the left. He's stumbling to the right. And can you imagine seeing this and then hearing the word, oh, he ain't back here. I got to go up here. He ain't here either. I got to go to the, oh, he's not there. I got to go to the right. I know it. Oh, I didn't see him over there. You know, when you see this, you know, this man was really searching for God. I mean, because God had hidden himself from him to the point to where no matter where Job had been used to finding him, he was not there. Praise God. We don't want the Lord to get out of our perimeter. We don't want him to get out of our sight. We want to be able to find the Lord. So the Bible tells us, as we've spoken in a previous message, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, but I want to thank God for this passage of scripture here in the book of Job. I love this passage of scripture because in the end, Job said he knows the way that I take it, you know. So sometimes we have to just rest in the Lord and say, Lord, I done searched for you on the left hand. You wasn't there. I searched for you on the right hand. I went backwards and forward trying to recant my steps. Well, I know you had met me before, but I still couldn't find you. So, Lord, just find me. Just meet me where I am. And you know where I am, God. And when you talk to God on a intimate basis like that, sweetheart, he will show up. He will show up and he will show out when he does show up. Praise God. So I thank God for that passage of scripture here in the book of Job. And I'm getting ready to hush my mouth, praise God, and give it back to the apostle and let her give a rendition as she will. Let us say, man, for Apostle Bowman right now. God bless you.
Good. Thank you, Pastor. Beautiful, beautiful. I just wanted to also just say that, you know, when we were reading some of Psalms earlier, we were looking at the sons of Korah. And when you look at the sons of Korah, we know he came against Moses at one point in time. Korah himself did. But you look at the people that were attending the sanctuary during Moses' time. Levi is one of the tribes that was given the responsibility of taking care of the tabernacle. And so when you see stuff in the Psalms like to Korah or the sons of Korah, The Kohathites, they were part of the Levi group. They were given the responsibility. If you look this up, it's very interesting to study these people. They were given the responsibility of carrying items now. Every time the tabernacle would move now, you know, they had to carry things like the Ark of the Covenant, and they had to carry it with care. Now, some of the items could be carried by other members of the Levi group. There's three different sons there with their own ancestors and things like that. But each part was given responsibility. You could carry some items in your hand if it was permitted. Some of the other members could carry it on their shoulders, like the ark was carried on their shoulders. But the sons of Korah, they had to carry the items wrapped by a priest in types of blankets and things. They couldn't touch these things now. They couldn't hold it. It had to be placed on things in carts, and they never could touch it or they would die. And we see that in Scripture when Uzzah falls. He falls and he dies. Now, the reason I mentioned that is it's very keen to know that when you're studying Psalm 63 and 64, because they had began to not like that position. Now, you might touch something by accident and fall out dead, you know. So they started coveting being a priest. And that is why I think some of these psalms are to them, to encourage them in their job that they were appointed to do in the sanctuary and in the tabernacle, encouraging them because they are doing and they were doing a very holy work for the Lord. And our words tonight to you as we study hungry and thirsty for God is to be unmovable and steadfast, as the scriptures say, always abounding, knowing that your work is not in vain. What you're doing for the Lord. I know my brother Sean, when I was home for Mother's Day, I have to say this. I'm always in awe of what he does. Sean has been calling people at the mental health center and talking to them for years. Throughout the week, he calls them, uplifts them, gives them scriptures. He has his own ministry. He's called
yes.
the priest of God. The Lord told me this 3 years ago that Sean was his priest, and I saw angels baptizing Sean in oil. And Sean has a handicap, but in the spirit realm, Sean does not have that. God sees him as a person after his heart. He has a heart for God's people, and he's been doing that for years. He's a spokesperson for God. He's hungry and thirsty yes. for the things that are of God. He was called way before I was, and so I respect him, and I love him. When you're hungry and thirsty for the Lord, people take notice. You know, when you're hungry and thirsty truly for the Lord, you walk in his
oh, yeah.
ways. Because, you know, people, the ways of a perfect man, he doesn't speak and offend people. He talks with wisdom. He talks with grace and salt because, first of all, he's hungry and he's thirsty for the Lord.
Yeah.
He is a sheep of the Lord. And what does the scripture tell us? My sheep hear my voice, and I know
oh,
them,
yeah.
and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We hear his voice,
wow.
and I include myself in hearing God's voice when he speaks. Not that I'm perfect
yeah.
by any means, but I do lay prostrate before God. And when you're hungry and thirsty for the Lord, and I know this week we're going into some more consecrations, my husband and I, for the ministry, and we want to be up at the fourth watch between the hour of 3 or 6, petitioning the God, the Lord of all lords and King of all kings for a movement in the people we minister to, the people we talk to daily, and people that we're going out, new people that we're meeting. We have to be so hungry and thirsty for the Lord that when we speak and talk to them, we can feel change being released off of them. And so that they also can be hungry and thirsty for the Lord. Because it's not about us. We are commissioned to disciple people. I don't care if you're 80 years old listening, 90 years old listening. You are disciples. You are should be disciples to go out in this vineyard. You are
yes.
under the great commission
yes.
to go out there and spread the word of God by how you live, how you speak, and how you talk to other people and deal with them with wisdom. That's an honorable, honorable man. Harris family, you all got any comments for tonight, hungry and thirsty for the Lord?
Yes, I just want to say really enjoyed everything as usual. And I just had a good time just listening to everything that was said and hearing the word of God. Always enjoy that. And you all just keep the good thing going. That's the main thing. And God bless you.
Thank you, Mom. Elders?
I would like to say that testimony, Tammy, that you just gave of me, it is all true, and I'm still standing by it and everything, and I've been still talking with them and everything, lifting them up, but I know it's not me, it's God within me. And that's what I always tell them. I say,
Praise God. Don't give
me the credit. Give the credit to God.
Amen.
Because God is the one that brought us so far.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what people say about you, you got to remain calm, stay yourself, represent yourself as a good person.
Amen.
Amen.
Only if you do have a mental illness. God will look at your illness. He looks at you, the inside of you.
Amen.
That's what I tell them all the time. Don't put yourself down. God don't like that. You got to be happy, no matter what.
All right.
Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times, my brother, he would talk about his mental illness and stuff like that. And sometimes I've been to his center and talked to them. I have told them I don't see them as having a mental illness or a disability. I call it a blessing because their mental illness, which some people may portray it to be, it can help somebody else that has the same, that's in the same situation. So it's actually a blessing. They just, a lot of them just got to use the right way. But and also, my sister said a while back that when she had dreams about my brother, he was not handicapped. I didn't ever think about it, but that's true. Even when I've had dreams about my brother, he was never handicapped. I never paid any attention till she brought it up, and that's true. I've never had a dream that he was handicapped. And also, I want to talk about tonight. Once again, y'all did a fabulous job. And
Amen.
With Psalm 63, when I was doing my studies, I noticed that the theme of Psalm 63 said, thirst for the water of life. And once I read the theme, it sounds so much like this ministry, I couldn't do nothing but smile. And, you know, I was also reading that I was thinking to myself, if some of us would thirst after the Lord in the same manner that we thirst after material things, that man or that woman, our life will be a whole lot better than what it is. And once we thirst after the Lord, we have to really thirst after him, and we don't need to treat our thirst for him like it's a burden. Some people rushing this, some people rushing that. We shouldn't treat our thirst for him like a burden. And also, before I get off, Pastor Marcy Banks, I also want to tell you congratulations on your great doctor report. I mean, it just blew me away.
All right.
And I'm going to share this real quick. Now, this right here was, I was doing some business with on the phone today. This lady did not know me from Adam and Eve. And the same scripture she gave me, she didn't give it to me. She said in prayer over the telephone. Like I said, I don't know her from Adam and Eve. She gave me the scripture over the telephone. And I'm going to give the same scripture to you, Pastor Marshall, because it's a fitting properly for you right now. I said, wow, this is something. Okay, and that's good for it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God,
Amen.
That he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:6-7, and there was you. And you showed it today in your testimony.
Yeah.
God, who wouldn't serve a God like that?
All right.
Amen.
Well, that Minister Geneva Benford. Cleavon.
Yes, ma'am.
Was that Minister Geneva Benford? It was, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she's mighty. Right. She's mighty. All right. Okay, we're going to say hello to, where are you? I guess she's gone. Quite a few people on. Mother? Collins, we're going to let you wrap us up, I guess. You got any comments before we get off tonight?
No, I'm dead. In the eyes of the world, thank God for you and passing my faith and faith such a strong and beautiful word tonight.
All right, ladies. Thank you very much. Andrea, you got anything for us tonight?
I truly enjoyed the message tonight that was brought on behalf of both of you guys, and I definitely love hearing from the Harris family how they contributed as well toward the end. That's amazing. Pastor, those are some good numbers, and I want you to keep those numbers up because that is
Come
awesome.
On, nurse.
Your news
Come
has
on, nurse.
Definitely been renewed like the Eagles, so let's keep up
Come
the good
on,
work.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We got to keep Pastor around, so thank God, you know. Just hearing you say how they were talking about palliative care, and Apostle Bowman and I, we know what that's like because we both worked in that realm of health care. So we know what it's like when people have been told that it's, you know, 6 months or less. You know, we work with those kind of people. I've had them in my own home to watch that. But, Lord, have mercy. They, you know, that's amazing. What the devil thought he was going to do with you, God said, it is not so. So praise God for that. So, Pastor, keep up the good work. You bless us every time.
Yes. Yes, it has been a journey for him, I can tell you that. It's utterly amazing because now we're seeing the Lord really do, when he said miracle signs and wonders will follow them. Yeah. And just look at the timing. Yep. On when we're seeing this. And that is because we're seeing people, because the Lord is getting ready to pull his spirit out heavy on those that are ready to walk, evangelize right now, and get out here on this field and do some things. Whereas some people are leaving the field and deciding they don't want to go see the sick, not go to the jail ministry, not go see widows. Minister Geneva Benford has a widow teleconference, and I'll give that number out, and I'm actually going to be passing it out pretty soon because that woman lost her husband last year or so, and she is a woman of God who is fiercely determined to keep on keeping on, and we thank the Lord for her and her sending out that message today with the phone number to her widow's ministry. To anyone who's grieving for someone that they have lost. As we get out of here, Lord, we just thank you this evening for imparting such beautiful words of wisdom and scriptural dissecting by Pastor today, a workman that's not ashamed, that's rightfully dividing the word of truth. Lord, we thank you for the gift, God. We thank you for your presence this evening, Lord. And we pray that a word or something's been said and some encouragement has been given that has inspired somebody to really be hungry and thirsty and to rededicate themselves to reading your word, to not just opening the Bible just on Sunday, but to actually be in the Bible throughout the week, God. We all could stand some improvement on that. Lord, I know I need it. I need your fire back in me. I need that fire that can't be quenched. I need that fire to be raging and soaring, God, consuming your word, Lord, diligently each and every night, meditating and being delightful to meditate on your word, God. May that spirit go out right now, Lord, like a sounding trumpet among the saints of God right now. And may their ears receive the sound and not confuse it, Lord. May they be able to interpret the sound of the trumpet calling them right now on the battlefield, a man up, to step out on wings of faith. To understand that now is not the time to sit down, but it's a time to go after the word of God, to go into the kingdom and be out there trying in the name of Jesus to save some souls, no matter how bleak and how bad it may look. God, your word is like you said, Jeremiah, is like a fire. It's like a hammer crushing rocks to pieces, Lord. And we need your word to be among us and in us, God. Dwell with us as we leave this Bible study tonight in our homes. Encamp your angels on every corner of every saint's house right now at the thresholds of their doors and their windows, Lord. Send your anointing out, Lord, like a roaring lion in the wilderness, Lord, and let them know that you're standing guard and standing watch and your spirit is being poured out so that they can be hungry and thirsty, but they shall be filled as your
word in Matthew 5 and 6 says, God, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessing, Lord. We thank you for the promise, Lord. We thank you for being heirs to Abraham's covenant, Jesus. May we keep the covenant and walk and execute in your word, God. It's in your son, Jesus' name. We adjourn, but we stay close to the fire of life, which is you, Lord, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, God. We say amen, and we say amen, and we thank you. Good night, everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight. Amen and amen.